buddy. So there's our prayer card. If you want to pick one up afterwards, you can do that. And when my parents came from Russia, that was long before I was born, they were asked, what is your name? And they said, Slyshevsky. And then they just wrote it somehow. That makes sense to Germans. And no German can say it. In America, no American can say it. I don't think it's really a Russian name. And a lot of people come up to me from Poland and said, hey, it's a Polish name. But it's a really weird name. And I don't even know how far it goes back. I think it started with my grandpa in Russia because Germans were not really well seen in Russia. And when they were asked, what is your name? They just said a Russian name. And that sounded apparently Russian enough. But yeah, it's Slyshevsky. But like I said, nobody, not in Germany or America, really knows how to say it. So we usually go by William and Heidi. But it's such a privilege to be back here and share with you what God has been doing in those times. And I preached in Eichstätt, in our church, I preached through the Gospel of Mark for almost 2 years. I took a break last year when we had the lockdown, and I went through Habakkuk and saw how sovereign God is. But one thing that we saw in Mark was how God provides, how Jesus provides. And so if you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, I want to look at the very common story of the feeding of the 5,000 or so. Depends on who you count. But Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 29. And I want to read those verses, Mark chapter 6, 29 through verse 46. And it says, and when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse. And no, that's the wrong one. I think I'm in the wrong chapter. Oh, starting 30, not 20. I was wondering, I didn't preach anything, I didn't prepare anything about a corpse. I'm sorry. Could happen. Verse 30, I'm sorry. There you go. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure as so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out to of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep as not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves and were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained the disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Let's pray together and then look at God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are sovereign and that you reign. I thank you that you use us humans and that you don't rely on our strength, but that you give us the strength that we need and that you provide everything. You know us, you know the needs that we have, but you also know what's in front of us. And so I pray that you will help us to understand how you want to use us. Thank you for your word and thank you for everything you do. I pray now that you will speak through me and teach all of us. Amen. It is interesting when we look at Jesus and how he acts and how he does ministry, because he knows exactly what we need and he knows exactly what we should do. And so when we look at this story today, to me it points out that Jesus provides. And the first thing that I think we see in verse 30 and 31 is Jesus provides for you by giving you rest. Jesus provides to you by giving you rest. And read 30 and 31 again. It says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." So in verse 30, it tells us that the apostles, the disciples came and they reported what they had done from their mission. They came back, and we don't need to read all the details, but we are told that they told him all things that they did. And it was probably amazing. Can you even imagine? The apostles were sent out to preach the gospel and do miracles. And now they come back and they tell Jesus what they had done. And he tells them in verse 31, rest. Come on, let's go to a quiet place and rest. So they got into a boat and they leave. We shall never forget that Jesus knows exactly what we need. And always remember who Jesus is. He is God. In Psalm 103, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." God knows who we are, and God knows what we need. Jesus is aware of who we are and what we are made of. But are we aware of the fact? We are humans. We are created beings. We are in sin, we are weak, and we need Jesus' peace. And it's marvelous to see that Jesus provides peace to those who come to him, and to those who fear him, and to those who live for him. Jesus provides everything. And it's not, "I'm so exhausted, maybe my day was so full, I don't have time for God and for what he wants." That is usually what we think when we are exhausted. I just want my peace. I want to be left alone. And usually God falls off of from our radar. But it's rather, I have spent my life, my energy, my days for God. And then Jesus says, "Hey, you need some rest." In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is somebody who wants to give us rest. Back then and today. In our text today, we see two reasons Jesus gives rest. First reason, everything up to verse 30, "Because you have served, I will give you rest." And then we see the context of the passage starting in verse 35. He prepared them for the ministry that's in front of them, so he gives them rest. He gives them rest because you have served, and He gives rest because you will serve. We are, as God's children, as Christians, we are made to serve Him. Everything in us is there to serve Him. So our whole life should be a ministry to God. Our job, our activities, our hobbies, everything that we do should be service to God. And so it is interesting when we look at this passage. He says, apart into a desert place and rest a while. And Jesus goes into the boat with them and they go to the other side. Well, Jesus gives rest, but He also provides by giving us guidance. Verses 32-34, and it says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Interesting. They did it privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew Him, and ran afoot thither of all the other cities, and outwent them, and came together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. Do you remember what Jesus told the disciples, where they would go? Well, He didn't say. He didn't say where they would go. He just said, let's go to a desert place and rest. And what did the other people do? What did the people, not the disciples, what did the other people do? Well, they saw Him and they ran. And for some reason, they knew where to go because they were there before Jesus and the disciples. Incredible. They had a desire to hear and to see Jesus. They knew who Jesus is, and they ran by foot. Not a small group. All of them that they wanted to get away from, to rest, they ran. And they got there before Jesus and the disciples. And as soon as Jesus gets out of the boat, they gather around Him. So much for departed desert place, huh? I still think it's fascinating that they ran by foot without knowing the direction. They could have gone any other way. No, they went exactly there and they got there before Jesus. Jesus' reaction toward them shows the same reaction that He has now toward us. He has compassion. Jesus does not reject any that come to Him. He further looks beyond our wants and sees our true needs. Why all those people came, we don't know. But He knew. And Jesus sees the helpless people. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And what does He do? Well, they need a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Well, He gets out. He sees the multitude. He has compassion and teaches them. And in the parallel account in Matthew and in Luke, we see that He also heals the sick. And even though He did heal many, that was not the reason He came to earth. He didn't come just to heal the sick. There are many that are still sick today. His main reason was to heal the spiritual sick. Those that need a Savior. His message was always the same. The kingdom of God. He wants people to understand who He is. That is the solution for all the problems and wishes back then and today. No matter what life situation you're in, Jesus knows, and Jesus knows exactly what you need. And He gives guidance by giving clarity. Clarity about their current position and circumstance and about who He is. He teaches them. Isn't it interesting? They come lost. Yes, some were sick. And what does He do? He gives them His Word, teaching. There are many today that are tired of it when they have a problem, you give them a Bible verse. Isn't it interesting how people want help and you give them the Bible and they say, well, thank you, but I wanted help. Well, what do they want? My words? Really? My ideas? Everybody should know that's not really the solution. I might have good ideas, but that doesn't help anybody. Only God's Word helps. And that is exactly what Jesus does. The needy people come to Him, and He gives them His Word. He teaches them. And have you noticed, in that whole part of that, the disciples are not mentioned? They're not mentioned. Jesus does it all. The disciples are supposed to rest. They're going to get another job, but right now, they're not there. They're not active in that. I don't want to downplay those men, but I want to point out that they don't have an active role at this very moment while Jesus is teaching. I believe they were supposed to listen. They were supposed to listen to what? To God's Word, because God's Word will give you rest. God's Word will give you guidance. So Jesus teaches them, and when it starts to get closer to the evening, we again read of the disciples. You see, now a third point, Jesus provides one thing by giving rest, by giving guidance, but also by giving you food. Now we get to the great miracle, a miracle that most of us know very well, and I hope that we are aware of what Jesus has done here. Verses 35 and following. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away." Great idea, disciples, because they are hungry. They saw the need of the people. They saw they are hungry. And now they come to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, it's a little late. Let's send them away so they can go into the country road about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Jesus' answer is, "You give them to eat." Oh, Jesus, it's not many of us, and there are a lot of people in front of us. How? And then they say, so Jesus says, "Give them to eat," and they say unto Him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" And Jesus said, "Well, how many loaves of bread do you have?" And so they go and they found out, "We have 5 and 2 fishes." And Jesus again commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, He looked upon heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to His disciples and set before them. And the 2 fishes divided among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and all the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Well, so the great caring idea of the disciples, thoughtful, hey, sent them away. Well, we don't know their motivation. Maybe it was a good motivation. But Jesus said, "No, you feed them." I don't know if Jesus did it with a smile, because He knew they don't have enough food. But He knew exactly what He's going to do. So, and when we see how Jesus acts, sometimes it is for us, because we know the whole story, we can smile. Because I see myself a lot of times in Peter, going a little too fast and maybe a little too excited for something. And Jesus knows exactly how we are. And He uses us exactly in our positions. So Jesus says, "You feed them." In John we see that He did said it purposefully. He did not think, "I wonder how many we're going to have and if we can do it." That's not His thought. His thought was, "I'm going to show you how I'm going to do it." We with the disciples forget so often the deity of Christ and His foreknowledge. And by foreknowledge, I don't mean that He knows how we're going to act and that's why He knows it. It's because He has everything under control. He is sovereign. And if you pay attention, you will see in the text, Jesus says, "If the people are hungry, then give them food." And the disciples, "Well, should we buy bread with 200 denarii Let's pause a little just so we can recap this. 12 arrived with the boat and the multitudes were standing there. Jesus taught them, and it gets later. And all gospel tells us it's 5,000 men. In Matthew 14:21, it says there were 5,000 men plus women and kids. So most theologians and commentators and historians would agree it's most likely 5,000 men plus 5,000 women and maybe 5,000 to 10,000 children. So we have probably between 15,000 and 25,000 people there. And then 200 penny worth, as far as I figured it out, one penny worth was about a one-day pay. So adding it up, 200 equals about 8 months' pay. And if you would have an income of 2,000 after taxes, we're talking about $16,000. And $16,000 for 25,000 people is not a lot. I mean, I know there are people that can cook from not much for a lot of people, but they didn't really have that privilege or the chance to go to a Walmart and then just buy the food. So we have to understand the story, what Jesus is doing here. The disciple says, so should we buy with the $16,000, $20,000 that we have, should we now buy the food? Well, I don't think there were that many bakeries and stores in the evening that still had all the food. So even if they would have the money, and even if all the stores would have the food, it would still not be enough. And that is exactly where Jesus wants them to the point where they should get at. That it's not enough what they have. And it's not what you should rely on, what you have, or what you can do. So even if all the planning would have been well done, I don't think the shelves would have had enough food. And so they get to the point, and they find a little boy. A little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And also there, I read up a little bit on it because it's... Now, in Germany, we eat a lot of bread. And most kids would take some kind of bread to school. But it's rare that a kid has 5 loaves of bread with them and 2 fish. Now, it was probably more like a roll. So 5 rolls, not whole loaves, more like rolls that he had with him. But even that, well, now we have a little boy with 5 loaves. He thought ahead. He was the only one. So then what does Jesus do? Well, let's use that. So the disciples come back. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then we come to the point where we see Jesus provides by using the little that you have to offer. Jesus provides by using the little that you have to offer. Verse 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Jesus, just to keep the perspective here, commands them to sit in groups of hundreds and fifties. Can we imagine 20,000 people sitting down in those groups? It's not a small group of people. It is a huge group of people. And then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He wanted everybody to see. He wanted everybody to see. He looked up to heaven. He blessed the food. He broke the bread. He gave to the disciples and he divided the 2 fish. Verse 41, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and broke the loaves and he gave them to his disciples and to set them before them. And the 2 fish divided him among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Jesus takes that, which is so little, and thanks the Father, and he breaks the bread and gives it to the 12 disciples, and they were supposed to distribute. Even that would take time. But Jesus wants them to see and experience that. And they did. And they just handed out the food without stopping. And they come back and they have more food in the end that they started with. From a little boy, Jesus took this unimportant bread and this unimportant fish. We don't know the name of the boy because it's not important. That is exactly how Jesus operates. He uses those who are not important so that He gets the glory and that we see how important He is. We need to understand, no matter what we have and who we are, no matter how small, how big, how important, if we give Jesus that what we have, He will make great things, or He can make great things out of it. And then we read that the little boy ran and told everybody that he fed the multitudes, right? No. We don't read anything about the little boy. Because that's not what it's about. Because it's all about Jesus. Could Jesus have had bread rain down from heaven? Well, of course. He could have. But He didn't want to. Because He wanted to use, He wanted to show the disciples, He wanted to show the people how He acts. People speak oftentimes of gifts that they have. Not miraculous gifts, but talents that they have. And how they can serve God. And there are also tests. You can find your gift. And those tests could be helpful. But sometimes we don't need the test to find out what we can do if we just do. And sometimes it's not your gift that Jesus wants to use. He wants to use you. I told our church in the very beginning, when we started in 2015, it was in our living room, we had the Bible studies, and in the girls' room, we had the kids' Sunday school class. And in the beginning, it was Heidi teaching. And after a while, she was never a part of the church group. She was with the kids. And I told the group that we had, I said, well, we need more people that teach the kids. And it's not, do you feel called to do that? It is, do you want your children to hear from God? Well, yes. Well, then you need to step up. And now, almost everybody of the members is involved somehow in kids' ministry in our church. Because we said we need that. Because otherwise, well, we will not have Sunday school class. I can't do it. And it's not that it should be on two people. So what we did in our church was, hey, can you please help? It's not about, is it your spiritual gift? Is it your talent that you have? No, it's the need that we have. And God wants to use that. And it has been a great experience because people learn by teaching. They have to prepare. So they actually had to get into God's Word and find out. And that is how God operates. So what was the gift from the little boy? What was his spiritual gift? Well, he was there. That's it. He came, he had his food with himself. It was nothing special. But God made something special out of it. That today, 2,000 years after that, we still talk about. And we wonder how we can serve God. It is usually just by being available to be used by Him. So be there. Bring food. Does not have to be food all the time, but be there. Just be available. Be ready to be used by Christ. Every one of us has the gift. So be there. God can take the littlest thing that you have and the biggest thing that you have. It doesn't have to be only little things, don't get me wrong. If you have something big to give, then give. But God decides what He wants to use and how. And He can make something great out of it. The important thing is that we do it for Christ. Jesus likes to use those who are little so that Jesus can be great. Well, we see Jesus provides by giving you rest. And sometimes we're just tired. I noticed that last year because, well, I still work my full-time job, and then I read from all my friends and people in Germany. They were not allowed to work, so they stayed home, but they still got full pay. Well, I did home office before it was cool, so for me, nothing has changed. Work-wise, I still work from home. But then we were in a new house. Then we had two extra people living with us. The girls now didn't go to school. Now the teacher sent the homework, and Heidi had to take care of that, and we did it together. And then we didn't go to church. We had church in our house. So it was a lot that just came suddenly. But how does God work? Well, He gives you rest on His terms. But when He gives you rest, He prepares you for the next task. That is how God operates. And that is so great to see. Jesus gives rest. Then Jesus provides by giving you guidance. He tells you through His Word what He wants you to do. And that means we need to be in God's Word. We need to listen to it. The disciples had to listen to what Jesus taught just as much as we have to. So we have to be in God's Word. And Jesus provides by giving you food. We are so worried about everything. We are worried about health. We are worried about food. We are worried about where we're going to live. But if we look just at the last 2 years, we hopefully realize that we have nothing under control. Nothing. And no matter what your view on Corona is, the fact that it's worldwide, you can't run away from it. And so many people have lost their jobs. I mentioned earlier, we live close to the city where the car manufacturer Audi is. I remember 5 years ago, people said, well, it was before the diesel scandal, so it was maybe 10 years ago. People said, if you work for Audi, you're good to go. I think in America it would be John Deere probably. If you work for John Deere, you're good to go, I think. Well, it's not secure because the economy can crash very easily. So no matter what job you have, it's not secure. So don't build all your hopes on your job. The same thing with food. Just because you have food doesn't mean that you're going to be well. Just because you're healthy doesn't mean everything is going to be good. So what we have to start to focus is on what Christ has for us. And that's why Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God. And He will take care of everything else. Then that was food, clothing. So Jesus gives food. You don't have to worry about that. Do your part. But never forget to put Him first. And fourthly, Jesus provides by using the little that you have. No matter how much you have, don't think that's too little for God. God can use everything, and He wants to use it. What a great way to serve others by giving to God and letting Him provide. That is the God that we serve. That's what we experienced in Germany. That's what we experienced here. That if you trust in God, He will provide for you. Not always the way you think it is. He doesn't mean that He will give you health. Doesn't mean that you will always have exactly what you want. Like I said, on the 26th of December, we found out that we have to move out of the house. Heidi was at the point, she thought a little ahead. What if God thinks that we should have a really small house? What are we going to do with all the stuff? I told her, well, let's not go that far yet. We still have 6 months ahead of us. Yeah, but we have to get rid of everything if we have to move into a smaller house. Well, then God did hear her prayers, and we moved in a bigger house, and now that house is full because we got so much stuff. But then we want to turn that around and give it to others. And we want to share. And no matter where you are, God will be able to use you if you're willing, because Jesus provides and we can trust in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Jesus, we thank You that You provide, that You know everything, and we can trust that You take care. I pray that You will show us the areas of our lives where we have to just give it to You and be used by You. Thank You for this church and for the faithfulness to You and to Your Word, and for all the support that we get through prayer, through finances, and through the friendship that we have. I praise You for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.